So should we introduce ourselves?
I'm sick.
First of all,
recovering.
Amber, what is this?
A podcast?
Does the podcast have a name?
Q's in a pod!
That's a stupid name. Pick a new one.
You're the one who named it that.
I guess it's what we got. So.
It's what we got.
Unless you want to change all the links.
No, that seems like a lot of work. But I don't want to do.
Only two of us have a Q in our last name.
It's true.
So.
Yeah, actually, none of my possible alternate names have Qs in them.
That's true. It's a shame, really.
And I only have a Q because of you.
Well, I mean, you chose to have the Q in there, but...
True.
Yeah.
But if he didn't exist, I probably wouldn't have chosen that last name.
Well, because I went back in time and I cock-blocked my dad.
What?
Like Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a plot point.
Yeah.
Oh, so then...
Okay. I would not exist.
Okay, yeah. I see.
Off. And Biff Tannen would, for some reason, rape my mom into compliance. That movie was
just
way
how you
more
do.
Screwed up, yeah. All right, so Amber, who are we?
We are Q's in a pod.
Do we have names?
Maybe.
What's your name?
My name is Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel, tell me about yourself.
I'm a secular cultist.
Tom, tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm an artist located in Red Hook in the Hudson Valley, and I like to write stories about supernatural and abnormal events in and around, you know, this area, and I'm pretty good at it, so to suck it.
My husband has told everyone to suck it.
Amber, who are, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Amber Hawk, H-A-Q-U. I am an artist, and I'm a farmer, and I'm a pretty girl who's never actually worked a hard day in her life.
I work several hard days, Tom.
That doesn't sound at all like me, Amber Hawk.
Jeez, Amber, why did you go to the misogyny so soon?
Jeez,
don't be
Tom.
So hard on yourself.
Jeez, Amber, how can you have not worked a hard day in your life yet?
I assume it's because I got my bachelor's degree in art. I was gonna do criminal justice, but that seemed too easy, and I wasn't sure if I could do art.
But you do farming. Isn't that hard work?
It's mostly just making mud pies.
Well, both of you, stand back. I'm about to do some writing. Clickety, clickety, clack, clack, clickety.
Stand back.
Wow, Tom, that looks like really hard work as you sit there and eat chocolate-covered pretzels and stare at the screen and don't actually write.
Nobody, you don't understand. I don't know. I'm not even doing that good of a caricature.
I shall just send things to play on the YouTube channel on our TV.
Rather than making
scribble.
Meaningful conversation.
Well, you are a complete introvert, Daniel. So I understand. I, too, am an introvert. But in a really, like, cute way.
I'm an introvert.
Are you? Yes, Daniel. We've established that you are an introvert.
It's true.
Are we done with this game?
I can keep going.
I'm sure we could fill up an entire podcast of us doing this. But
listeners, it was a trick.
It was a trick the entire time.
I'm really Amber.
I'm wearing your pajama pants inside out.
Huh. Yes, you are.
I am.
And that's how this all got started, really. We didn't know who we were because we were inside the pajamas and you were outside of them.
It's true.
And we have to make a good show because of our one fan, Julia, who said that she listens and enjoys listening to us.
Hi, Julia.
Hey.
See ya. At NonCon?
At NonCon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that too. My new friend, Kest, also listens. So,
hey, girl. Email.
Our two listeners, both of whom are short people.
Yes.
If we got a third listener, we'd have just as many people listening as talking.
Wait, I listen.
Yes.
I don't know if you count if you're both a listener and a talker.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. But maybe
I technically listen to it when I'm editing out all the name things we say.
That's true.
Yeah. We should do a special podcast that's nothing but the inane things we say. And
you
is this
should
a...
just
I considered doing that and just saving all of them and putting them in and it would make no sense. So, what are we discussing tonight?
Marijuana.
Marijuana? I've never tried marijuana.
Yeah, a couple of times, but it was in Canada, so it doesn't count.
That's true, even though it's soon to be legal here.
Is it legal in Canada?
In everything but law, yes.
Yeah.
like they have street festivals there where everybody is smoking in plain sight, and like it just, yeah, it, no, it, like here, it depends where you are in Canada, but for the most part, it's you know. It's not legal, but nobody really pays attention to it.
Yeah. Unless... So, like, if you're a white person in America.
Yeah, yeah.
College.
Yeah, you can have all the cocaine you want. Just, you know.
But no crack. A single rock of crack and you're going to jail.
For the rest of your life. Felony.
Well. Every year for which level of darkness you are.
Yep. Mm.
So we're implying there might be some sort of racial component to the prison system in the United States of America.
What? That's crazy.
At least social class component.
But it's,
yeah.
I mean, they're the two are sort of wrapped up in each other.
Yeah.
Like sadly.
Green is the only color that really matters in our country, followed by white.
You know what color really doesn't matter? Copper. Pennies.
Oh. Yeah, pennies.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're pretty worthless. I thought you were going to be, like, saying that Native Americans are the bottom of the echelon.
No! I'm talking about pennies because we were listening to that thing about pennies earlier.
Yes, we did listen to a thing about pennies.
No.
Which is not a topic for Q's in the pod because it's really boring.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that.
No.
I missed it.
It was really boring.
Basically, it costs a lot more for us to create pennies than pennies are worth.
Oh, yeah. Yes, no, it's been that way for a while.
And now we're running out of zinc.
Because of pennies.
Yep. Yeah, and actually, is zinc recyclable as well as much as... Because, like, copper, weirdly, can be, like, recycled forever, essentially.
I don't know.
But, yeah, not as big on zinc.
Yeah. Okay. Not as much. So, marijuana.
See, I have... Here's my subtle, nuanced position. I really dislike cigarettes, but I'm okay with people smoking marijuana.
I mean...
I don't care. Like, I don't care whether people are smoking or not.
Yeah, I guess that's, like, it may actually be kind of hard to do an entire episode on that, because, like...
We'll pick a new topic soon.
Yeah, I don't think...
Well, I've worked with people who smoke both pot and cigarettes, and I don't care.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, as long as it... Like, if it was an enclosed environment, like, when I was at... I went to the Moose Lodge, and they'd often smoke inside, and like that is, I don't like that.
Well, specify, they would smoke cigarettes.
Cigarettes inside. Okay,
like tobacco.
I don't know, maybe they're smoking pot, pretty sure it's tobacco. But like, like I much prefer, like, if you're gonna smoke, I'd rather you smoke outside.
Yeah.
But I at least with tobacco, I don't know if marijuana sticks to things the way
it does.
Okay. I don't think it's as bad as tobacco because, like, they add a lot of shit to it.
That's true.
But
yeah, I never really understood that. It seems like, why can't you just smoke tobacco? But they seriously just put, like, arsenic in that and rat poison in it.
Yeah, there's a whole process.
I'm sure some of it is just preservatives.
Yeah, a lot of chemicals. Apparently, a lot of it is they do try to smooth the flavor out for it. Like, it's the same as producing, like chips. There's a specific level of, whatever compositions you would like in it that are better than other ones. But
because if I just sliced up a potato and tried to feed it to you, you would find it disgusting.
Yeah.
Because your palate is so used to the sugar and the salt.
Yeah.
So first you have to, like, extract all of the, like I think they do, like, extract all of the nicotine and a lot of the plant extracts out into a fluid, and then they do whatever, you know, mixtures they do to it, and then they actually add that back to the dried leaves after the fact to try to, like, standardize how much nicotine you're getting.
Oh, I see.
So it's like when they make orange juice by taking a whole bunch of oranges, squeezing them out, sucking all the air out along with the flavor, and then, like, 2 years down the road, they open that up, throw in a few flavor packs, and give it to you.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Like, maraschino cherries. You know the red color of maraschino cherries?
Yes.
It's all dyed. When they create the maraschino cherries, they suck all of the red out of the cherries.
Seems right. Seems fair. Yeah. I did once see a beekeeper had to get rid of a whole bunch of his honey because it was bright red because they were eating the runoff of the maraschino cherry factory. That apparently is too toxic. You can't feed that to people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not too toxic. It's just that it's adulterated. It doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, as I say, it probably tastes gross.
What's funny is that happened in Red Hook. Red Hook, New York. In the city.
Huh. Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Red Hook from the horror in Red Hook.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also happened with blue by an M&M's factory, like anything with those colorings.
Right.
These bees love sugar.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like that, they're
like, what was funny, I think it was with the maraschino cherry one, that, so the beekeeper had, like, tons of good bee forage around, and they were going way out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge nuisance for the maraschino cherry people, because you don't want...
Oh,
you know,
yes, just
bees everywhere. It would be interesting if we had more tobacco as tobacco.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, that is why, like, if you are going to smoke, it is actually way better for you to...
Roll your own?
Yes, roll your own. It's still not great for you, but that mostly has to come from the whole idea of inhaling smoke into your lungs, which is why, like, even smoking marijuana in cigarette form is not that great for you. It may not be as bad, but it's still, you know.
It's hard to say. Like, smoking anything can be bad. I guess it's like along the lines of in excess.
Oh, right, right. Frequency definitely would matter.
Well, I do know someone who has asthma now from smoking so much pot, and so she has to have it turned into cookies, which I think is a vicious cycle of, I have munchies, oh, look, cookies.
Yeah. But, and I mean, the generally, I think the overall consensus is that, like, the best options are vaping and edibles at this point. But edibles also tend to be, like, way stronger than, you know, or harder to moderate.
And vaping just makes you look like such a douche, so.
Yeah.
We did see a video with a girl who has to take marijuana and THC. I think it was mostly in THC form, like pills, because of her cancer or whatever. And she had, like, a whole box of, like, treats, like candy and stuff like that. But that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, but that, again, gets back to, like, you know, the supposed dangers of marijuana, or that just that you're going to raid your cupboard and, you know, maybe pass out.
Well, I mean, in her case, you know, she didn't have full she had fairly good access to it, but her parents, you know, controlled it to some extent. Like, it's still control. Like, I could eat all the chocolate I have over there.
It's true.
But I'm not going to, even if I'm hungry.
Yeah. Why not?
Because it would be really, really bad for me to get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you have self-control as an adult, sort of.
Sort of.
Well, that was just because I remember, you know, we are talking about you here. And...
I have good self-control. I think so.
Well, I don't know. Your impulse control, like, but that maybe is true of all of us here.
But
to a degree,
there's a difference between, like, I could stop doing it. Do I want to? No. It's true. I did get a lot of seeds.
Well, I was reading today an article about panic attacks, and the person talks about how they self-medicated with increasing amounts of alcohol because obviously their body would get used to the alcohol and need even more alcohol to have the proper effect. And I've known people who self-medicate with marijuana and they're like, this is better than any psychiatric drug. I'm calm, I'm level, and the government doesn't want me to have this. They'd like me to, like, down literal handfuls of pills rather than smoke something.
Well, that's been, you know, the biggest open secret for a while now is that it's, like, you cannot overdose on it. It can't kill you. Not directly.
I think it also depends on, like, how it's being used. Like, I self-medicated on alcohol as well.
Yeah.
But that, like, it has a lot of bad effects as well. Like,
effects
too.
Yeah, no, alcohol should be where alcohol should be treated the way marijuana is treated.
Yeah. Except that when you outlaw alcohol, you get organized crime.
Well, right, but that's also why, you know, that's true of anything.
And we have crazy organized crime in Mexico because of marijuana.
Yes.
So if we legalize marijuana, we basically cut off a big source of funding for, like, the Mexican mafia, who's straight up, like, killing people and throwing them. So.
Except because it has started being legalized in the U.S., it's no longer profitable for them to grow marijuana. So now they're switching to, like, cocaine. And worse things.
Which will always happen, but there are, you know, there are upper limits to where you can be profitable as a drug lord, crime ring.
As an American, I want American dollars to stay in America, being given to American pot growers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, then you have more regulations, possibly, like, they aren't necessarily cutting the product because, you know, it's cheaper. Oh,
well, which is the other argument for basically legalizing everything, is the main difficulty of... If it's not being controlled, if it's not an open thing, then you can't test it. Because, like, you know, ecstasy is usually MDMA cut with who knows what. And that's the problem, is, like, you can't figure out what the who knows what is.
You know who is in favor of across-the-board drug legalization? James Randi. You know why? Because he wants Darwinism to kick in and he wants drug addicts to die.
Yeah, although, okay. but that's not what happens. Like no. every country that has, you know, decriminalized the majority of drugs finds that rather you get a decrease in usage.
Is there a difference necessarily between legalization and decriminalization?
Yes. Decriminalization doesn't mean it's legal. It just means that you're not going to get a felony for it.
It'll just be like a misdemeanor.
Yes.
Yeah. I definitely, and I'm 100% in favor of decriminalization probably for anything, like, well, drug-wise.
I mean...
Maybe.
As Tom pointed out, like, the whole prohibition thing, like, we know that as a process doesn't work. You know, it's... There are very few things that... You know, you can restrict access and you can control access, but if you deny access entirely, like, you just immediately create another market for underground forces.
One of the reasons I'm in favor of legalization is because I work in a juvenile detention facility and I encounter so many boys who think I smoke pot is an entire personality.
Yeah.
And if we legalized, it would be like, I drink Kool-Aid. Good for you there, Scooter. Good for you. Which is my attitude. Is like, great, what else? I smoke a lot of pot. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pretend I'm making joints out of construction paper. You know you look like an idiot, right? Like 100%?
I do admit that is like one of the things that always kind of turned me off from it personally is the culture that surrounds it.
Yeah. Like, even if it was legal, I think there'd be still some amount of the culture.
There would be, but definitely, like, the more normalized it is, then the less specific it would get, I guess. Because, you do have people who, because of its sort of taboo nature, like, it can be used as a personality trait, and I don't know.
I think you could still use it as a personality trait.
Oh, you definitely could.
People would see how unbelievably lame that is and discourage you.
Well, although, but consider Doritos and like Mountain Dew and how if you're a teenager you're going to wrap your identity around whatever the thing is that you like to do.
Yeah.
And if it's for a lot of kids it's going to end up being like, oh yeah man, like I'm the guy that's like slamming the dews, the code reds and
yeah, and you still get like anything like that. Like anime, there's entire cultures based on it. It's totally legal though.
Yeah. But it also because it's normalized, you know, it's not.
All right, imagine I'm the guy who really likes eating peanut M&Ms, where everyone's like, that's stupid. That's really stupid. Right. Whereas it's almost encouraged like, oh, you're the stoner. I know that trope. I know what you're like, guy.
Right. Yeah, but you could still, if you're like, I'm the guy who really likes peanut M&Ms, there are going to be other people who are like, yeah, I really like peanut M&Ms too. I totally understand.
But it's not going to be like encouraged. It'll be like,
it'll be encouraged,
I really
by
like
that other guy.
That isn't society. What other guy is not society? Whereas right now society, like, thinks that is an acceptable thing to be as, I smoke pot. That's okay. You don't need, like, a second qualification. You grow tomatoes? Good for you. I don't need to know anything else.
I don't think that is, I don't know, maybe it's just that I've never had it be, like, I know a lot of people who smoke pot. And that's not, like, their primary personality trait.
Right. Yeah. But I know a lot of people who their only personality trait is, I smoke pot.
Yeah. But again, like, I do think that those same people would be likely to just... It would be something else. Like,
true.
It might be
Let
less
it
annoying.
Let it be something else, just so long as I don't have a torrent of young men who are like, I smoke pot. And be like, do you read books? I don't know. Do I? You do now. Like, let them have... An additional personality trait. Once they realize, like, it's like, yeah, I smoke cigarettes. Okay, and?
Well, that's a good point. Like, the majority of the people you're talking about are also like them smoking pot might be why they're your charges. Yes. So that's an important distinction.
But like, that they're definitely be true. Not like they're definitely not like, oh, I mug little old ladies. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, I try to rape. They're not talking about that. But like, oh, I smoke pot.
Yeah.
Oh, I smoke pot. Oh, we smoke pot. That we're pot smokers. No, you're young men who do a substance.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that is not the totality of your personality. Please try to develop a secondary characteristic.
Well, depending on where they developed, though, couldn't that just be a factor of them being, like isolated from other societal, like, factors? So instead they're clinging to whatever is offered to them? Like,
but it's mostly I smoke pot.
Right.
They also like cool shoes.
Yeah. Which shoes, again, I wonder if that's because that's like what...
That's what their culture is.
Yes, yeah, I understand that. And I find that differently stupid. At least there's some sort of like... There's more culture to it than we sit around and we smoke pot. It's like we go to shoe conventions and... Oh, you know, we're really interested in the new Jordans that are coming out.
There are whole blogs and stuff dedicated to like what you should watch while you're smoking pot, though.
Yeah.
At least then you're watching something. They don't get as far as that.
Okay.
It's not like you're trying to have a psychedelic experience. It's like, smoke pot.
Which again is probably because that's like maybe the one escape that they have available to them.
True.
Because they're self-medicating, so let's legalize it so they can develop a secondary personality characteristic.
Yeah. I don't know, like self-medicating can be important, but I guess it like... I think it would be better for you to have, I don't know, supporters.
Yeah. Well,
doctors help you out with your medication.
Which, right. If we legalize it, we can have.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. No, because we'd be drowning in money like Colorado is currently.
Yeah.
Literally had to return money, right?
Oh, I don't know
believe
about that.
So.
Okay. One of the states that legalize it, they have this obscure thing that if they make more money off of a new tax than they expect, they have to, like, give it back or something. So they had, like, I think they decided they had, like, a tax-free day on marijuana or something because of this.
Well, and it's probably because it has to be budgeted. And if they get more than they're expecting, then that's over budget and, you know, so a refund. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Self-medicating is usually a sign of other problems. And it's usually what you do when you don't feel you have access to something else is the...
Yeah.
Well, I know this thing makes me feel momentarily good, so I'm going to try to do that as often as possible because I can't get relief for whatever my situation is.
But you also don't necessarily know what the underlying cause is.
Right.
I self-medicated with alcohol, but I didn't know at the time I had social anxiety. It was just how I could socialize.
Right. You just happened to notice that it was slightly easier when you were tipsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so expanding on our marijuana conversation, hemp should also be legal.
Yeah, no question.
So I can grow it and make my own rope.
Yep, and paper and potentially biofuels.
There is something called dogbane hemp. It isn't in the hemp family, though. It just has the similar properties. So I can grow that. But at the same time, if you grow that, you can't have dogs because they might eat it or something. It's poisonous to some animals.
Huh. Hence the name.
Hence dog's bane.
Yeah. Yeah, it usually gives you double damage dice against, like, the creature type that the bane is for.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, like, you know, I'd rather grow actual hemp than dog bane hemp because it might be less toxic.
There are entire industries that would rather grow hemp than some of our available crops.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like our constitution's written on hemp.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
it
totally is.
It's not like George Washington was a hemp farmer or anything.
No, not at all like that.
Yeah.
Anyways,
reefer madness.
Yeah.
It is weird to make a plant illegal or regulated in some cases. I just think it's odd that you can regulate something I can grow.
Well, I think that's a bigger conversation of should the government be in the position of telling you, the private individual, which you can and cannot put in your body?
Which I think usually comes down to, like, to a degree, it because like that kind of gets towards the FDA, you know, like part of its job is saying, like, businesses can't sell you meat to put in your body unless it meets a certain standard. Not that the FDA works as intended, but that's like the basic idea behind it. Similar to like, you know, regulating certain drugs.
But if you want to go out of your way to get like horse meat, which is unregulated by the FDA, right. You're not. It's not illegal for you to eat it. It's not illegal for you to eat, for me to raise my own cow and eat it, even if it's not USDA standard.
But the FDA will bust into your house if you have some of that unpasteurized milk.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll come in guns drawn as though you're terrorists. Yeah. Because
they'll take your children away, and I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that depends on the state. But still, that California is
pretty crazy about that. I lived in Arizona, and briefly you could get unpasteurized milk, which was fine. It was.
But it's only if you're trying to sell it, though. If you're having your own cow and drinking your own milk, they don't care. Either.
Yeah, well, they can't do a whole lot about that. But the second they can, if there's even the tiniest suspicion that you're selling it, they'll come after you.
Yep. Unless you're selling it as pet food.
Yeah, well, for a while, and they were putting black dye in it for a while, and then
why?
To make it less likely that people would like it was a requirement to make it less likely that people would drink it.
It's the same reason that they had to put things in alcohol that would kill you. Yeah. Did you know our government killed about 10,000 people during Prohibition by poisoning them? Yeah. And they said, you know, well, what was going to happen under if they drank normal alcohol, that was going to kill them more so. So only 10,000 people died here, whereas 200,000 people would have died if we did not have Prohibition.
Wow. So like the potpourri pot thing? Potpourri? People die smoking that?
Yeah, K2 and spice is way more toxic. Mm-hmm. And they keep changing the formula because the government illegalizes one version because it's really evil.
Yeah.
And rather than let's smoke this pot where... like, no one's going to die. No one's going to overdose.
Right.
Nobody's going to try to eat their friend's face off.
It's so interesting to me that, like, so I was going on Etsy and stuff like that and looking at herbs. And there are Etsy sellers who sell smokable herbs. Just not, like, pot and stuff. Like, you can smoke mullein, it's just mostly a weed. I grow some of it, too. And that's good for respiratory issues. So it was so weird to me when I first saw online that, like, people are selling, like, smokable things that aren't, you know, marijuana or pot that would be completely difficult to get.
Yeah.
I just find that interesting.
Yeah.
You can smoke off. And, like, as a, like, actual breathing in, like, I totally love incense. You can just burn whatever you want for incense.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't usually inhale it.
Well, not directly.
Well, I do accidentally. Well, not accidentally. Yeah. I want to smell it. And then I'm like, oh God, I smelled it too hard.
Right.
Your life is rough, Amber.
Erg is sprained a nostril.
It hurts.
I'm like a super smeller.
Not anymore. I smell too much sage.
That's right.
Too close.
And now you can't smell at all.
Well, that's what happens if you smoke too much, you get rid of it and you lose your sense of smell.
Huh.
You didn't know that?
Hmm.
Smell and taste can be affected by smoking too much.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Have you tried, like, you know, a Kleenex?
Yeah, if you like, blow your nose, swab out the inside, that helps.
Maybe.
Some nasal irrigation.
If it happens to me, it's because I inhale too much dust and dirt every day.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I know working at the bank, like when I worked in the flower room, like it definitely affected my sense of smell.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because it's dank, musty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, like they're bad ventilation, anyways.
Mm.
Yeah. Closed environment.
Yep.
Cheapskates.
But yeah. So I do agree that the government should have some control possibly over what people can sell to tell us to put in our bodies, just like how cigarettes used to be marketed for pregnant women.
Yeah.
And it would help you with your asthma.
Yeah.
It's good for the baby, too. Get that little fella shaky.
So, like, that is a little bit iffy.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would do a lot of good if the government were honest about drugs. Because fear-mongering does not help. Like, demonstrably, it does not help.
Right.
Like, oh, marijuana will make you rape your children to death. Be like, oh, I smoked pot and it didn't happen. What else is the government lying about?
Oh, yeah. Which, ultimately, like, we're getting back to the whole issue of, you know, the problem of money in politics. Because, again, the only reason marijuana is illegal is because...
William Randolph Hearst.
Yes.
Wait, also, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he ran a newspaper. Mm-hmm. He liked, you know, I think he had, like, mills.
Yes.
And so he really did not want hemp around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but marijuana as well? Okay.
Yeah.
Not just hemp. It was...
Yeah, the connection between the two is how he used marijuana to kill hemp.
Okay.
Yeah.
But why is marijuana illegal then?
Because he used marijuana. It was a good fear-mongering tactic.
Right. So he
fear-mongered over marijuana, which was legal. So
hemp
would also become illegal.
It would be like if you own like a sesame seed factory, so you're like, you know, those poppy seed bagels can be used to make heroin. We should legalize poppy seeds.
We should legalize?
Illegalize poppy seeds.
Criminalize, y'all.
Yeah.
Which,
I definitely thought that was true. Like, I didn't think, like, poppy flowers were a thing you could have. Because of opium.
You absolutely can.
I have poppy seeds right now.
I don't see the point of poppy seed bagels. They just get stuck in your teeth.
I love them. Yeah, I love tiny
mess up
seeds.
Your drug test.
It's
a hassle. No, but actually, like, really, when you look at the history of most of the illegal drugs that are popular, like, it comes back to, like, oh, we're scared this specific ethnic group is using them and we don't like it. Because that was a factor as well. Like, part of, you know, Reefer Madness, the whole thing was like, oh no, black men will get high and then rape your daughters.
Yeah. And I think that pot was known by a name other than marijuana, but marijuana was the Mexican name for it. So that's what they used in their fear-mongering.
Yeah.
There's so many, so many different names for every sort of drug, which is funny.
Yeah.
Which was a joke in my middle school, because our principal was named Mary Jane, and she often had her door open and had cookies that people could take.
That's hilarious. So I'm sure there was like a secondary market for Mary Jane's cookies.
Maybe. They were just regular cookies, though.
Yeah.
Well, at least as far as I noticed.
I would hope so.
It was a very liberal private school, though.
I think someone did get kicked out for pot marijuana, though.
Wow.
Yeah,
he might have been selling it, though, so.
And also, let's be clear, like feeding somebody edibles without their consent is still pretty rapey.
I'm absolutely marijuana. Against that.
Well, no. I mean, no one was.
Yeah. No, we understand that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think he was spiking Mary Jane's cookies.
Okay.
With Mary Jane.
No.
Unless it was bits of Mary Jane. Isn't the person.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Might try that. Yeah. No.
Amber, I feel like you don't really have much experience personally with drugs. Is that correct?
As in...
Have you done drugs?
Where
do the drugs come from? Why do you have drugs? Where'd you get the money?
No.
Are you all hopped up on goofballs?
I've done very few drugs. Well, I've done legal drugs, but I haven't done illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Would you do marijuana if it were prescribed to you?
If it was prescribed, definitely I'd try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might try it, I don't know if I'd try it anyways. I'm not really that interested in it.
Yeah. That's fair. You're kind of over
but
the
there are
age
other,
where
like,
it's exciting.
There are other drugs that I might be interested in, but...
Like what?
Not really. I don't know. Like ceremonial stuff.
Like ayahuasca.
Maybe.
So you want to poop and vomit ritually.
I mean, I'd prefer to continue pooping. It's true. I would want to.
Forcible,
necessary.
Projectile diarrhea is the experience I've heard with ayahuasca, which I don't think is fear-mongering, because the people who advocate it are like, the purging. I forget they say it in
that
Spanish.
Would be cool.
Yeah, it's such a pervasive element of ayahuasca stories that
positive it must be true.
Yeah, I don't know. Not necessarily that, but like, I'm sure there's something I'd be interested in, but not really specifically.
Both of my, you know, illicit drug stories happened essentially at like the same week or so. Was when I was visiting my first Canadian girlfriend, and
I will say one thing. Like, I've definitely known a lot of people who had drugs, and I've dated people who did drugs and everything like that. There was one time I was going to a bar, and I met a bunch of my friends were, like, leaving. And I was like, oh, where are you going? What are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're going to go do something illegal. I'm like, okay. Wait, what kind of illegal? And it turned out, because at first I thought maybe it would be like drugs or something, which I definitely didn't want to do.
Right.
Turned out it was vandalism, so I joined them in that.
Yeah, I see.
You're a troublemaker.
Filthy hippie.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was one of the best nights of my life.
You know you got married, right?
Yes.
So, is getting married above or below vandalism?
I guess above. Well, I mean, my vandalism was in my, like, fancy prom dress and heels wandering around a city.
So it was sort of like getting married anyway.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
I like wearing fancy dresses and doing random things.
I approve of that.
Like marrying you.
It's pretty random. What about some hallucinogens? How do you feel about that?
I was on laughing gas once. And I'm not sure if I would do that again. Because it would probably be very, very dangerous. It was, again, I was getting my, I had, cavities. I was getting cavities filled, so they put me under, and apparently I'm super sensitive to it, because, like, it took, like, a second or something, and I was gone. Like, I was hallucinating that I was on a merry-go-round. And you know how, like, when you close your eyes and you, like, press them, sometimes you can see, like, the little red shapes?
Yes.
Like that was how, like, it covered my eyes with that, so I, like, didn't see anything. I felt like it was a merry-go-round with two stuffed animals sitting next to me, or around me or something. And the stuffed animal said to me, like, Ember, are you okay? And I wanted to, like, I think I tried to say something back, but I just smiled like crazy, apparently. Because the stuffed animals was my mom, who was also in the room. So, like, I kind of understand that experience, but I don't know if I would do it again, unless I was in a very safe place.
Yeah, which is usually the recommendation for hallucinogenics, is that you should be in a good place in your life, and you should be around people you trust who take care of you.
Yeah.
Whereas I've known people who sort of took LSD instead of therapy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I need to have this experience, and oh, I've taken a step back from my life, and now I have everything in perspective, and I've got it. It's beautiful. I saw the vastness of the universe, and now I know there's no God. That is what happened to Melanie. She was vaguely theistic, and then she tripped once, and she's like, no, I saw the entirety of the universe, and I know there is no God now.
Yeah, it was, and psilocybin mushrooms is being very heavily looked at, and has been rabidly coveted by a lot of the scientific community as a treatment option, because it's so effective. Like, every time they try to study it, it's just immediate, you know, good results, especially for, like, PTSD and trauma. And
what do you know about ibogaine?
I have not heard of that one.
Is it, like, Iocaine powder?
No. Ibogaine is a drug of some sort that is given to, like, heroin addicts for various reasons, and it takes your addiction away. Like, you're no longer addicted.
Does it have negative side effects?
Well, I'm sure it must, but I don't know them.
Yeah, I imagine being released from the addictive grip of heroin is probably worth a few nasty side
effects.
Well,
no, I mean, like, there are other drugs, like, what is it? I think it's in Rent, maybe? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Smack?
No. That's heroin. It's like another drug that you take to get over heroin.
Oh, methadone.
Methadone.
Yeah. Methadone's no good.
Yeah, methadone just gets you addicted to methadone.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, if it's something that actually helps, good. But if it's something that's just replacing addiction.
When I say that it makes your addiction go away, I mean you do it once.
Yeah.
And it takes away your receptor, like, whatever receptor wants the heroin, it's like, nope. You can also get rid of.
Does it work for other things?
Yes. You can get rid of, like, oh, you want to smoke cigarettes? Ibogaine. And, like, then you don't.
But
yeah.
Is it generalized?
Well, I think just it takes away addiction.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. I don't know. It'd be weird if it's like, I want to take this because I'm a heroin addict, but I still like smoking. You see, like...
Well, then you could still smoke, but you wouldn't...
You just wouldn't be addicted to it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be addicted.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I do imagine, like, it would be interesting if it can be that finely tuned, but I do imagine it just sort of takes away a lot of your addicted...
And I wonder if it takes, responses. If it takes it away from everything that you could be addicted to, like... Or just chemicals. Like how I might have a video game addiction occasionally. Yeah.
Well, the big part about addiction, like the way the process usually works is, well, depending on the substance, is that your brain gets used to giving you endorphins for doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of like cigarettes and nicotine and other things like that, like it also works in the sense of you take it. It makes you feel really terrible when you have the drug again. You feel slightly better than when you felt terrible from not having, you know, the withdrawals. And like, that's actually the mechanism that sort of...
I'm just trying to get back to normal.
Yeah. I mean, that is like a trope, essentially, is the, like, you know, drug addicts don't take drugs to feel high. They take drugs to feel normal.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia article for Ibogaine. It is prescription in Australia... And New Zealand. It is unscheduled in Canada, the UK, and it says UN. I'm not sure where that is. It's oral. Let's see.
What does unscheduled mean?
Oh, like it's not restricted necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably just
Ibogaine is a naturally occurring psychoactive substance found in the plants of the Apinacea family. A psychedelic with dissociative properties. The substance is banned in some countries. In other countries, it is used by proponents of psychedelic therapy to treat addiction to methadone, heroin, ethanol, cocaine, methamphetamines, anabolic steroids, and other drugs.
Wow.
It is also used to treat depression and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Cool.
Interesting.
I like that it helps with methadone.
Yeah.
Because methadone is some bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, methadone was essentially, like very, very little what? Different from when Bayer was trying to, like, market heroin as a cure-all.
There was another drug type of thing. I think it was to get over opium, like, forever ago.
Yeah. Might have been heroin. About?
No, it wasn't heroin. It might have had heroin in it.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It was, like, liquid or something.
Opiates, yeah.
I don't know. It was like you took it and then people were just addicted to that, you know. But, it's better because you could take it at home rather than having to go out into the opium dens.
Yeah. Actually, I'd be surprised if that wasn't heroin.
It isn't heroin.
I don't know.
It might have heroin in it.
It might have had a different name.
Well, I know that we live near Newburgh, New York, which is often mentioned as a hellhole.
Yeah.
And there you have recently started having issues with the drug crocodile. Zombie drug.
Yes, the one from Russia that causes necrosis.
Right, and once you start making it, what you make out of like stuff underneath your sink, you literally can never stop making it. I'd like to see if we could like interrupt that with Ibogaine or something. Because your flesh will just rot off your arm.
So they're having that in Newburgh now?
That's what I hear.
That's scary. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out the name of this thing.
Laudanum?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's mostly heroin.
Well, yeah, but it's still it's a different name. I
think that was one of the brand names, essentially.
Brand heroin?
Yeah.
Yes!
Cool.
But that's also very similar to, like, you know, the relationship between cocaine and crack. Like, they're essentially the same drug, just a slightly different format. One is marketed to rich white people. The other one is marketed to depressed poor, you know.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, they clearly would have like an equal penalty under the eyes of the law, right?
Oh, no. Of course. Because we're a fair and just society.
Right.
Yes. No, of course not.
And the CIA never flooded black communities with crack cocaine.
Oh, that's crazy conspiracy stuff. I mean, there's no way that could be true. Oh, wait, hold on. Never mind. Pretty sure we apologized for doing exactly that. That's or at least admitted it.
I do know that I have heard people say that one of the reasons that the state is so against marijuana is that it's pretty easy to grow. Although I have heard from other people that marijuana is quite a pain to grow, and it's a very sensitive plant in this climate. I don't know firsthand or anything, but I've heard that that is the case.
Well, I'd imagine some of the problems in this climate is that most people are growing it inside their houses.
You pretty much have to.
Yeah. Well, it's also probably easier if you don't then also have to take a lot of precautions to not get found growing it. Because, like if you're having to grow it in your basement, you know, and then insulating that from all, like, heat.
Escape. Like, I think it has to say, it is a fairly warm... Like, I guess it also depends on... Like, every plant has a cycle or something. Like, you can grow tomatoes in the middle of winter if you have the right lighting and heat.
Yeah.
So, it's wet, but... And if you... Like, and there are plenty of bees and pollinators. But they still, like, might go dormant even though technically they're perennial.
Right.
It, whenever it doesn't have quite enough heat and everything, even if it won't die. So, like... It might be that those are, like, the optimal growth rates. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So they want to keep it at that one, even if, you know, it would be just fine to let it have a fall, so to speak.
Yeah.
That is possible.
Yeah, psilocybin's apparently, like, has the same sort of, divergent, you know, expectations for how easy it is to grow.
Because,
that's apparently, you can, in a lot of states, buy the spores and grow them yourself, but you can't buy the full-grown, fungus. But yeah, it is apparently. And unfortunately, a lot of the same things you would need to grow that would be the same things that they would be looking for if you were trying to grow marijuana.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, there have been times, research. I have grow lights that I use for my seedlings sometimes. And it's like going outside our apartment at night, I'm like, huh. Hope no one finds those suspiciously purple blue lights suspicious.
Yeah.
I did remember reading an article where a lawyer suspected that the government was illegally seizing information from people who sell things like grow lights. So he rented an empty house. He set up a whole bunch of grow lights around a tomato plant. And he and his lawyer sat there in lawn chairs. And within 4 hours, the police were there. They busted the door down, and the lawyer said, "You're all served. You all just illegally seized that information, and I'm taking you to court."
Nice.
Yeah.
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 Because we're pretty much okay with our privacy being taken as long as it's only being used against bad people.
Oh, yes. And we assume that, of course, it would never be used against me, because I'm a cis white man in America.
It's certainly easy to underestimate what links the government will go to keep, you know, itself in power.
And what the government also does is that they will seize your property and your money if they suspect that in any way it was associated with the growing of drugs.
But they're more likely to do that when they're having a lean year in their budget otherwise.
That's such a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, come on. There can't possibly be a correlation there. That's silly.
No.
I did hear about some, little old lady, and the police suspected that her grandson may have, done a drug deal outside her house, so they seized her house.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, and because they're not charging her, they're charging the house.
Yeah, and so the house can be taken.
Yep.
That is ridiculous. No,
ma'am, you've done nothing wrong. However, the house,
yes.
Look at how it's dressed.
Yeah.
Well, what's kind of funny is there's a similar issue with so if you take a mortgage out and on a house and you end up having to file bankruptcy, say, to stave off a foreclosure, even if you get discharged in the bankruptcy, so your debt is no longer attached to that, but the bank can still actually go after the property itself because the mortgage is attached to the property and not to the thing, which is the mechanism that allows us to still try to. Yeah. You know.
So how you can put, is it, it's like a lien, you can put a lien on people's,
it is a lien, actually. Yeah.
What is it called? When you buy a house, you get a title. How you can put a lien on someone's title,
the mortgage is a lien on the title.
Okay.
They're the same thing, essentially.
So if you, could discharge that, but, if I did work for someone and they didn't pay me, I can put, this on their title.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Or you can... You can sue for that option. Yeah.
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 And I know it has specific amounts,
yeah,
and stuff that you have to do.
Which of course is getting to the weirdness of, you know, property having its own entity in law.
Yep. Yeah. And that you have to get insurance, just in case your title isn't actually clean like it's supposed to be.
Oh, what? That never happens. We certainly don't daily have, you know, people trying to sell their house and then finding that there's like, you know, 12 judicial liens against the title that have been in plain sight for the last 20 years.
Yep. And my boss, when she bought her house, like, she bought like the house and it was supposed to have this other bit of property, I guess. And she was, you know, like a separate parcel, like the house we're looking at has two separate parcels. And she was talking to her neighbor being like, yeah, and I was trying to figure out, like, what's the boundaries of this part? He's like, you don't own that, I own that. And yeah, they went back and it turned out that guy owned it. They were not sold, like, that person tried to sell it even though it technically wasn't them.
Yeah. Theirs. Wow.
Yeah, so they ended up, I don't think she sued, but she got, like, her down payment back or whatever from them. Still.
Yep.
Pretty shady. People often try and sell people Brooklyn Bridge bridges.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you make land property that can be sold and owned.
Yeah, but
imaginary lines.
How would you fix that, though? Like, I understand, like, common ownership and stuff like that, but I also, would it just be if you're maintaining it's yours?
I think the ideal idea would be that you would never have legal ownership over the property. It would be, but you would.
But if I built a house, if I was growing plants on it, someone else shouldn't be able to be like, no, this is my house and property.
Right.
And
well, I think the question then would be like, would you then have the right to pass it on to, you know, your children and keep that piece of land locked down for eternity, or? You know, I don't know. I don't. That's definitely one of those things where, like, I have no idea what the alternative would look like, because you'd have to, you know.
I'm pro personal property, and I wish land was easier to get. Like, I don't know how to fix that. Like, I do agree there's a lot of unused land that would be better, that is just being held by people who have to sell it or whatever, people are buy land and aren't using it because they want to keep it as undeveloped land.
Right. Or because they're waiting to sell it to their developer friend, or who knows.
Well, but no, there are, like, people buy land to keep it and they get, like, you can go through, like, the Columbia Land conservatories and they'll buy the development rights, so that property cannot be built on, like, ever.
Yeah.
So there is some people who buy land just to keep wild spaces.
True, but that also, like, seems like a band-aid method.
Yeah.
For stopping the actual problem. That's true. No, because a lot of the issues with land, of course, is that, you know, us claiming ownership over it is what justifies murdering and whoever's living there beforehand, and then, you know.
But, drilling.
Being able to sell, like, oh, okay, like oil companies have the rights to, you know, this resource on the land rather than
the land itself.
Or even just, like, you know, us as an aggregate. It's one of those things where it definitely, even trying to think of a different way of managing it is hard, because we all grew up inside of a very specific system that's like property is this and ownership is that, and you know, capitalism is the only method, you know, for distributing resources, and rather than consensus and I don't know.
I agree, because I definitely think, like, I don't know, like, if I was like, I would like to do this thing with land, there are more people that would be like, yeah, you can sign, like, I could get people to sign off on the fact that I want to do this with some land.
Well, and I guess that's another question, is like, how much is there that you could do on your own that would not require, because it does sound like the sort of thing where, like, beyond a certain scale, it would have to be a community event or something, because you would need other people involved.
Well, it depends, like, nowadays with farming and mechanization, there's some things that are way more profitable and easier to do.
Yeah, if you have one of those gigantic, like, hay balers, you know, you can operate that yourself, probably.
Which is important. Like, I don't want to get down on that sort of farming. I disagree with it in some cases, but I also understand that it's way cheaper, like, to do it.
Right. No, it'd be way better. The expansiveness of the problem, like, we can't just talk about farming because we produce more than enough food that we need. Yeah. So it does, you know, obviously modern farming techniques are good in that they allow us to produce enough volume.
Yeah.
But the problem is just that it's tied to capitalism as a distribution method, which is why the majority of what we grow goes into the trash pile.
Yeah. And what also sucks is that, like, I work for people doing garden maintenance, oftentimes there are people who's not as much with my new job, more with my old job, that I was definitely out at their house on their property more often than they were.
Right.
You know? And, like, that's kind of crazy. Like, I understand why you would want to have a house in the country if you work in the city all week.
Yeah, but...
but it's still, like, such a waste.
Well, it is a waste, and it's a situation that, again, only makes sense if we're buying into the idea that a few people should be allowed to own most of everything.
Yeah, and most of these people are, again, really nice people, and they are, you know, helping the local economy because they're hiring people to maintain their property.
Yeah, although, but
could that space be better used to the benefit of the community?
Yeah. And like, again, how much are they actually helping the local economy? Like, their contribution is not going to be, you know, like
why wouldn't it be significant?
Can you raise a family on it?
Yeah, probably.
Are they actually, like, developing?
It costs $55 an hour for me to work on someone's garden.
Right.
And, like that's how, but I don't get all of that. Yeah. But, so, like, and there are people who we were at their house, they gardened. They're, like, three different people came by to take care of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lawn guy. And, like, then if you think, if they're coming into this area, they're buying things and, like, helping out the economy that way. No. I'm not saying it's a good model, but I'm saying it's not like it's a complete waste for them to be here, but it sucks.
Unless, of course, like, you know, they're bringing in things that they're, you know, that they're expecting, which are priced out of range of.
Yeah, that does tend to be the way that if you will have a bunch of people who can afford to pay $55 to have you maintain their petunias, then people who can afford, who could have afforded to live in the community, can't anymore because you have all of these rich bastards pricing them out of the market, gentrifying the community.
Yep. With their
overpriced marijuana.
And we haven't even talked about super yachts that have smaller yachts inside of them and require essentially an entire city to be employed to keep them functioning.
Wow.
See, they're job creators, Daniel.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I don't know.
Wealth is dumb, yo.
And it used to be that it'd be worse than that. Like, it used to be that you'd have a serious army of people to maintain your home.
Right, and they would all be, like, at subsistence level
of
survival.
And even if you had a regular-sized home, like, in Poughkeepsie, there are, like, houses that are, like, tiny, tiny, but they still have, like, servants' quarters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, our friend Don lives in, you know, curates a mansion, and the mansion, quote-unquote, like, would be a small house today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, even nowadays, there are a lot of places that you work somewhere, at least in the farming world, that you can get housing. Like, you work for them, they give you housing. So it's like a mini servancy.
Oh, yeah. Thing. No, we really haven't ever stopped being serfs. It's just, like, it's been obfuscated a little bit more.
We've never stopped being in an oligarchy.
So let's mellow out and get high, man. It'll change everything.
My coworker today asked me if I would be in favor of having my student loans forgiven. And I said, yes, of course. She said, well, what if you managed to pay off all of your student loans and then they want you to go in? Absolutely, because that would benefit the entire nation because there would be so much more money going into communities than is occurring right now where it's all going to the interest to some bank.
Yep.
But you wouldn't benefit
from that. I'm like, I would benefit because there would be more money.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree because, again, and even if you married, you better not. But, like, let's say Like, I don't have my student loans anymore. Like, my mom paid them off. But you still have your student loans. Yes. So if your student loans got forgiven, it would still benefit me.
Absolutely true.
Well, there are two kinds of people in this world. So people that are all like, I got mine, fuck you. And people are all that like you got yours and I got mine and I'm happy.
I got mine. Do you want some of it, maybe?
Which would happen. I would have another $300 a month.
Yeah.
That adds up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, well, that's the new American dream is not owning a house or any of that. It's getting out from under your debt.
Yeah. My sister right now, she's sort of considering buying a house, but she's like, yeah, like technically I could save up for a down payment, but I'd really rather pay off my student loans.
Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing to
know. Given that we haven't fixed any of the problems that led to the housing crash, it's probably a better option.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry. I want a house, though.
I understand you want a house, though your reasons may not be as feasible as you would like them to be.
But also, definitely not going into it with the intention of, you know, you guys apparently would actually be wanting to live in the house.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, a lot of people who were trying to get a house that they could sell in the future and make a profit on. So that won't happen.
Which I'm also against, but I understand that people can do as they will.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, like, if I buy a house, I might not want to live in it forever. I would like to, but, like, I also understand that I might grow out of that house, too, eventually. Hopefully not for many, many years. But I would be pro selling it for more than, like, adding value, like, taking pride in something you own and adding value to it would be good. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but
like
but
not
that's,
not like the flipping thing,
right? But that's the
yeah,
you know, the adding value to it part is completely subjective and dependent on what the market randomly determines.
Right.
But there are some things that, like, you know, it is adds value or whatever to keep it maintained rather than let it fall apart.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But as my brother experienced. He only added value to his house, and then the bank is like, yeah, you're underwater now because your house is not worth as much as it was when you bought it.
Yep.
And so his response is like, well, then you want to help me renegotiate? They're like, no, we don't. He's like, I'm not going to pay you for 3 months. I really wish you would pay us. He said, I'm not going to pay you for 3 months. Yep. And after 3 months, they're like, is there any way we can work this out? Can we lower your interest rate? What can we do to get you back paying? He's like, listen, I want to just pay you this entire time, but you would not work with me until I had to threaten you this way. I didn't want to have to do it. You made me do this. They're like, yep, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But hey, saved, you know, 3 months of mortgage.
Yeah.
Though interest was piling up that whole time.
Interest and fees. Depending. Although there are thankfully some pretty strong, like, they can't pyramid late fees. They can only charge you one a month. They can't charge you, like, if you're behind three payments, they can't give you a late fee for each of those each month. It's just you're late, you have a late fee each month. But there are like oftentimes, you know, at our bank, if you're 30 days after, then they do an inspection that gets charged to you. Mm-hmm. If there are escrow payments, then those kind of accumulate, especially if we have to actually make any payments to taxes or whatever from that.
Yeah.
That of course gets charged to you. Really it's just that it's way harder to make up one or two payments at once than it would be for a lot of people to make it at each time. So it can be very difficult when you get like a payment.
So if he was doing it, would be better for him to not spend it on something else, but keep it.
Oh
aside.
Yeah, no,
so
no,
he,
definitely, yeah. Definitely.
I heard that with rent, like if you're withholding rent, make sure you're doing it right.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, is like it does get reflected on your credit report and can do significant damage to your credit standing. Basically, as soon as it goes 30 days over, it starts getting reported as a serious delinquency. But in his situation, like, that was probably less of a problem than worrying about losing your house altogether or trying to work something to go forward.
Sort of tying our apparent themes together today. We just watched a video that discussed how difficult America makes it if you have been convicted of a crime. You paid your debt to society, then you want to go out and get a job and get a house, and our government will make that almost impossible for you to stay on the straight and narrow.
Yep. Well, because again, like we bought into profit prisons and
yes,
and all of that. Just
so we won't help you get a house, but we'll pay for you to be in prison for the rest of your life.
Well, but that just goes along with everything else. Like, it's way cheaper to just give houses to the homeless, and it's way cheaper to just give poor people money.
But I want to get mine, Daniel.
Right.
I get mine. They don't get theirs, right? I worked hard for this. Even though it would save me as a taxpayer more money to have these houses filled, to have the value of the houses not completely eroded.
Yeah.
But instead, I'd rather that those get overgrown with weeds and destroyed and homeless people freeze to death.
Right. And don't, you know, pay people who are helping maintain these houses and fixing them up for the homeless people.
Right. And also don't get mad then at like CEOs and Wall Street fellows who wreck the economy on a regular basis and cost you billions of dollars.
But they're job creators, Daniel. They create jobs. Right. Who's going to make the Kleenex tissue so I can cry because I'm out of a job?
Yeah. On Reddit, there's a great another post kind of linking to this article that was all about like, the American people overall, when polled, don't believe that the economy's gotten better, even though it technically has. And then, like, goes on to answer its own question of, you know, pointing out that, oh, that's right, of course, the economy's better on, you know, the metrics, like the basic metrics that we marketed on. But almost everybody's personal experience is that it's gotten worse because we haven't seen any of those gains. No. They've only been going to the top 1%.
Who can now get a slightly larger yacht within a yacht?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, or a double yacht to like that links together with a monster truck.
Or it's like if you think about like the increase in jobs and everything, a lot of the jobs that are increased are low paying.
Which are replacing good jobs that we lost.
And like, so like at a certain level, you're not really getting any more job creation. At the low level, you're getting more. And a lot of women are getting employed now because women are more likely to take the crap jobs.
Yeah.
True.
Well,
in America, I know this is like a whole separate issue. In America, if you are a woman and you are pregnant, you're very likely going to lose your job. We pretend like you have protections, but you don't actually. Because we are the only developed nation in the world that does not give paid maternity leave.
Yep.
Technically, you can take maternity leave for 4 months and you should still have your job. But technically. I don't know if that would count if you're working like hourly.
Absolutely not. And you know, then you go back and it's like, well, we hired a new waitress. So technically you have a job. You just don't have hours.
Oh, right. No, you're a teller now.
Yeah.
That's teller Siberia.
And a lot of, like, there are a lot of underemployed people who would love to work more hours at their part-time job, but can't.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to point out that I've been working at my job for almost 4 years and I'm still technically part-time because it makes sense to some accountant in Albany.
Yeah. Oh, well, wait, but usually they would do that to deny you benefits, but it's...
Yeah, but they can't, because even if you're part-time with the state, you have benefits.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
It's so if they fire him, they only have to offer him part-time jobs somewhere else.
I see. That makes sense. Oh, are you benefiting from the increase that Cuomo pushed through?
Not as far as I know.
He pushed through an increase?
Well, a lot of categories of state workers are getting bumped up to... having the minimum wage bumped up to 15.
Oh, cool.
You know.
No, I think I make above that. Though but I would
still, it might bump up.
Right, I would very much like, you know, if a rising tide actually did raise all ships.
Which, in some cases, it does. Because, I do guarantee you, like, if the fast food workers win their 15 tomorrow, like, it would immediately increase almost everybody else's wages, because then people like me who have often said, you know, they would consider quitting immediately, because if I could make the same money flipping burgers, I would do burgers. So I don't...
Is it only for fast food wages?
I think it's fast food wages in New York City.
What we won here was, but it's in the city, it's going through in like 3 years, and then everywhere else is getting it in like 6 years, but or the rest of the state rather. But that is just for certain franchises over certain size or something. It doesn't affect absolutely everybody. It's not an actual like statewide minimum wage change.
Yeah. I would like more money.
What's our minimum wage right now?
Seven something.
Is it? God. Wow, yeah. That sucks. I would like if more money was given to the people at Five Guys because they're very generous in giving me fries.
Yeah.
Well, I discussed this with Amber a little earlier, that I wish that we could get away from being a tipping culture.
Oh, there's thankfully a little bit of movement there. Oh,
good. Yeah. I'd love that, because I want you to get more than a living wage, I also don't want to have to figure out how much I should give you for doing your job, because your boss's job is to give you the amount of money you should be getting.
And it's a shitty... I have a couple of friends that work in the waitressing industry, and they do like that very often. They do better than minimum wage, but at the same time,
it depends on the day you're working.
It depends on the day you're working. It depends on very often on how attractive you happen to be, any number of factors. And even just the idea that somebody who is pissed off at you can like potentially ruin your life.
No. I know someone, not personally, thankfully. And what he does when he's at a restaurant is he lays out $10 in dollar bills, and every time you don't promptly refill his drink, he just takes one away, and whatever you're left with at the end of the dinner, that's your tip.
Yeah, see, that would be that's the sort of behavior that to my brain would make it, you know, should make it legal for me to murder you.
Right. When I think about tipping culture, I think about that guy.
Yeah,
because how I see tipping is like, yes, dance for me, please. Very good. Show me your cleavage. Lovely, lovely.
Yes, and laugh at my jokes now.
Like how I was saying, like, it depends on your day and everything. Like, my boss, she waitresses as well.
Right.
And her husband owns a restaurant, but she still is working on Monday nights. And, like, no one comes in on Monday nights.
Right, right. And you know, it definitely increases that sense of helplessness of, like, if you're having an actual shitty day or if other things in your life are difficult, then that's like an extra layer of stress on you, because if you don't smile, you're going to be treated like shit by all of your customers,
right.
or might not, you know, make enough to buy gas for the next day or food or rent or whatever it is.
And right. Like, it is below subsistence living.
And then you very often have to self-medicate to deal with the stress.
Yeah. And I like, and minimum wage, I don't know. I'm sure there are places around here that pay only minimum wage.
Absolutely.
But I can't imagine that anymore. Like, I get paid too little as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no. I mean, even the bank when I first started there, like, was paying, their starting positions were still above minimum wage. Only by a dollar, but they were still above, because it is, as I believe Chris Rock said,
my starting position was several dollars over minimum wage.
Yeah.
I had to garden maintenance.
Right. Well, and that is like literally because if you, unless you take the Walmart model of, you know, being like, oh, okay, well, we're just considering government assistance part of your salary package.
Yeah.
Like, unless you do that, you're not going to be able to get people who are competent enough to do what you do, because they're not going to stay.
Yeah, that's another argument definitely for the $15 minimum wage, right. Is, you know, you as a taxpayer are paying for that anyway, right?
Right.
You would actually pay less with a higher minimum wage, because you would not be giving so many taxes to welfare.
Yeah.
Walmart could pay benefits, or they could take tax money.
Yeah.
The Walton family get like a several billion dollar tax break last year?
Oh, yeah, no, I guarantee they didn't pay anything.
Right, and they made like $178 billion or something.
Oh, yeah, almost every franchise that has, almost every major corporation that's an employer in America could give a living wage without even impacting their profits.
Yep.
Like, yes, they would make slightly less profits, but they would still be making gigantic astronomical profits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when we were having that minor oil crisis a few years ago, at the same time that the oil companies posted record profit and then claimed that they were impoverished. I'm like, record profits doesn't mean impoverished.
Yes, exact opposite.
Yeah. Whereas we have Amazon, who's like, yay, we're still losing money everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Amazon pays okay, not great, and you will pass out working there.
Oh yes,
but it's
yes.
cheaper to get the EMTs to cart your way than it is to actually air condition their factories.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they'll pay you okay.
You until think they could give you, it. Like, which individual... they're definitely working on. Individual cooling things would be better. Because I can definitely agree that air conditioning in giant factory, that you're not likely to be in all of it at the same time, would kind of suck.
Yeah.
But a tiny air conditioning bubble like they have in the, like, suits and stuff, that'd be cool.
I don't know if that would work in a warehouse environment.
No.
But I'm slightly less bothered by that than I am by the other, like, things Amazon does with, like the actual tracking collars and you know, being like, oh, you took you 2 minutes longer to do this than we think it should have.
That's creepy.
You're penalized.
Although, on some businesses, we'd willingly do that by taking, you know, our business cell phones with us everywhere.
True. But that is, like, a slightly less obtrusive thing.
But you say that, but there was recently a case where a boss is like, so why did you stop here? Someone's like, well, what are you talking about? You know, you were at this restaurant. What were you doing there? How do you know that? Your phone tells me.
Yeah.
Like, on off hours, he's like, I can legally do that. And I think that he won. They're like, yeah, he can track you as long as you're using his phone.
Well, and, you know, but that specifically is the thing where, like, I would not, personally, I would not, for that reason, use, like, a company phone off work hours. But I don't know.
And I do understand, like, I don't know, it's the sort of thing that once the technology exists, it'll exist.
Right.
Like, I saw a similar thing, like, I think it was with Verizon or whatever. You can get, like, a little display or whatever and have all your family's, like the Harry Potter clock.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, except it's a cell phone tracking thing.
Yeah.
Which I definitely understand that, especially if you have young kids. Or teenage kids, probably. Right. Any kids.
Usually the reason... So privacy is a completely different topic, but the main reason that privacy is an important issue is that, you know, it very often will tie to things that can get you killed. If somebody, you know, if somebody else determines that you're doing something that they don't like, they might, you know, then turn it around, which is the main reason we care about that sort of thing. We don't care about people knowing, like, for the most part, we don't care about people knowing where we ate lunch because it doesn't get us in trouble. But, you know, if you know that I went to the gay bar...
That's true.
Right.
Well, and sort of tying this back to our previous topic, how do you feel about drug testing? I think we're all against that.
Oh, fuck drug. Considering how rarely it functions and how big of a waste it is. Like, if I'm going to do a minimum wage job, do not fucking drug test me. Like, what the hell?
And yet that's the job that is most likely the one where, like, you can't afford to say no.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then you probably also have to pay for the test in the first place.
I think my sister got drug tested for her more recent job. I've never, I think when I worked for campus safety, like, they could have drug tested me. Yeah. I've never been drug tested.
But it is one of those shitty things that usually they have some sort of lucrative contract with the company that, you know, can be traced back to, like, oh, I own a drug testing thing and you're my friend and you have this business, so hire me.
I definitely worked for a job once that people smoked pot at the job.
And again, I think we can all agree that that's, you know, probably not a good option, but
it
that's
was
very
after
similar
work
to
hours.
Okay, that's fine then. But yeah, like nobody is wanting, you know, construction workers to be on high while they're on the job.
Although they're the most likely to be. Very often high.
I know at my job they recently were like,
especially,
you know, we
roofers.
Can...
Sorry.
At my job, they recently were like, you know, we can drug test you. I'm like, try it, see what happens, because I'm not some, like, subsistence level worker and I will definitely go to a lawyer. And they're like, well, we're not gonna drug test you, only if you came to work high or drunk. I'm like, which I won't, so you have no business. But I guarantee that they're gonna go after one of the guards and be like, well, we want to just piss test you. And I will definitely be like, hey, you should go talk to a lawyer because they shouldn't do that to you.
So they can't for your job?
They say that they can. They say, well, but only if they suspect that you drink or do drugs. It's like, it doesn't matter what I do in my private time. Right. It doesn't affect my performance. Screw you.
What about, they can drug test you for drinking?
They, apparently, yes.
I mean, they could give you a
breathalyzer.
Yeah.
But I guess I guess they could test when you last drank. But, like, if you're coming to work, you know, and you had some wine and you made it to work and you functioned okay in your job.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And I saw Mythbusters, so maybe this isn't accurate. But the 0.08 driving thing, like, he was driving, he's like, I cannot believe this is legal. Like, I am way drunk right now.
And yeah, it depends on how you're used to it you are. If you're used to self-medicating, 0.08 probably isn't too bad.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because again, we're very good at as organisms, at getting used to our circumstances.
Yep. And I've definitely had situations when I've been drinking and, like, depending on the situation, even if I drank the same amount, I wouldn't be as drunk. Like, if I was in a safer situation, I'd be more drunk than if I was in a more stressful situation.
Yeah, for me, it's usually, like, did I eat first or not?
That's true.
And that determines whether the tiny amount of booze I get will give me motion blur or not.
So apparently I'm the drunkard in this group. But...
Yeah. Apparently I'm as surprised as you are.
I know, right?
Well, we know I can't hold my liquor.
Right. You just drop it everywhere.
It's terrible.
That's how you start fires, Tom.
That's how you get ants. You want ants? Because that's how you get them.
I'm an ant.
You're an ant. All right. Do you want to say our goodbyes now? Final thoughts, Daniel.
For the most part, I agree. Like, I tend to think that if you're legally allowed to make decisions for yourself, if you're recognized to be an adult, then you should pretty much be allowed to do whatever you want, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else directly or indirectly. Which is to say, like, you know, sure, maybe you can poison yourself if you want, but don't shoot yourself because you might hit your neighbor. That would be a bad thing. If you want to get a little high, that's fine. As long as you're not driving. I don't think we care.
Don't do suicide by cop, because that's also dangerous for the cops.
Yeah, cops are like when you do that.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, it's one of the many that seem to enjoy shooting for any reason at all. Yeah. But still, you don't want to encourage
them. You don't know which one you got, though.
That's true. That's true. You might be traumatizing the one poor guy in the forest that's not, you know, just living out his power fantasies.
Right.
So yeah.
You might be traumatizing the me who actually got her criminal justice degree and became a cop.
Amber, final thoughts.
I agree with that. I also agree. We should raise the minimum wage so everyone can buy
drugs.
Plants. That of may drugs. Or may not be drugs.
Okay.
Pants?
They should also be able to buy pants. That's too true, Daniel.
Pants are a good commodity.
And...
So we're pro drugs, pro pants, pro what was the other one? Oh, pro raising the minimum wage.
But anti unnecessary luxury inflation item things.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
So I can buy a joint, but I can't buy like Le Joint by Calvin Klein.
I mean, you can, but I'd rather.
Yeah, I think society should be restructured in such a way that Le Joint by Calvin Klein wouldn't be a thing.
Oh, I would like that the joint versus Le Joint, that if they were made, like, I don't know, never mind.
So they'd be the same thing, but one of them just has a stupid name.
It has a Nike swoosh on it.
Right. Like, I'd like to think that if I was paying more for something, it actually had some increased, like, value or... ethics,
like it was rolled around on a kitten.
Well, more
or
like
the organic,
more like,
marijuana.
Yeah, like, yeah. I knew that the joint was picked by poor slaves or something, and Le Joint was, you know, picked by
fair trade
people,
yes.
Women, and helping them out.
Okay.
And extra money goes to
children. Orphans.
Children.
Yeah.
And not making bombs. Or diffusing bombs by making that cool rubber rolly thing.
That is very cool.
Or training those hero rats.
Yes, poor hero rats. They explode so well.
What?
I'll link it in the show notes.
But they're awesome.
Wow. Okay.
My final thoughts. I'm against drug testing. I feel like, much like Daniel, that if you are a legal adult, you should do what you need to do, but don't make it the core of your personality, because then you're just really tedious to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a child, just don't do heavy drugs yet. Your brain is still forming. And you're already not making good decisions because you are drunk on testosterone or estrogen. True.
Unless, like, you're literally going to die without it.
Yeah, then it's okay. Then if it's a prescription medication, consider taking it regularly like you're supposed to.
Except if you should research your prescription medications fully. Advocate it for yourself.
That's right.
Bye!